Wide open spaces seeker. Big city veteran. Conservation cheerleader. Passionate storyteller. Creative cowgirl. Pop Politica. Welcome to the third episode of Catalyze, a podcast from the Morehead Cain Foundation at the University of North Carolina at Chapel Hill. I'm Caroline Leland, your producer and host. You just heard a collection of phrases that today's featured alumni guest would use to describe herself. Becca Frucht discovered her passion for the entertainment industry, specifically the intersection between pop culture, politics, and social awareness, as a college intern in MTV's London office. After UNC, her career ranged from advertising to sustainability to pop culture writing and on-camera reporting. While working for MTV Act and Rock the Vote, Becca covered the Democratic National Convention and interviewed artists at Lollapalooza. With media outlet Pop Sugar, Becca co-hosted live coverage of the Grammys and SAG Awards. Then, she gave up her glamorous and thriving Hollywood lifestyle to live and work on an isolated ranch in Colorado. Becca believes in unicorns and enjoys wearing head-to-toe purple. Without further ado, here's our conversation about that career evolution and about what's next for this storytelling cowgirl.
I'm Becca Frucht, class of 2005. Grew up in North Carolina, but due to my own personal manifest destiny, I've headed out west. Plenty of stops along the way, but I'm currently in Bozeman, Montana, sitting in a nice little house near downtown. And
Cool. In a couple minutes, we'll jump into how you ended up there. But to begin with, I'd love to hear you talk about your scholar experience. So what did you do for your Morehead Cain summers?
Let's see, the first summer, which was really pivotal for me because it's part of the reason I live in Montana now, was Outward Bound on the Continental Divide in Montana, near Montana-Idaho border. So I spent 3 weeks mountaineering there. And then for my public service summer, I was in the Dominican Republic working for Orphanage Outreach. So they ran a school and a camp for children that were orphans, but also for the local children in a pretty rural, like poor part of the country. And then for my travel study, I was in Australia. And I studied sort of how ecotourism had become an economic outlet for Native people. And then my final summer was working for MTV International in London.
So it seems to me that a lot of your career involves elements of outdoors, adventure, beautiful spaces, and then also media and communications and pop culture. So My next question has sort of two parts. One, the basic question is, could you talk a little bit about how you ended up where you are now and some of the transitions that you made throughout your career? And then as you're thinking about that, I'd love to hear how you think that your identity as a Morehead Cain influenced those decisions.
Sure. Yeah. And it's one of those, it's a pretty eclectic journey, but I think that my experience as a scholar is so deeply connected to my belief and like the ability to pivot, to make changes, and feeling like when I have that inspired feeling of it's time to kind of take a leap, that my time as a scholar is like foundational to being like, yeah, you can do this and you should do this. And that risk taking as part of character building and like storytelling and shaping your own narrative, right? Like what life do you want to lead? And what's so awesome is when you come in as a scholar, that's kind of how they present it to you, right? They're like, what do you want your 4 years to look like? You are in the driver's seat. Where do you want to go? What do you want to see? What do you want to know? And that's so empowering, also overwhelming at times. And I remember kind of just thinking about my choices for summers. I now look back and I'm like, man, I should have done something really exotic and gone to like Borneo. Sometimes I'm like, man, mine were kind of pedestrian because I didn't really go into like the wilds of the Amazon. But you also, you know, you have to do what's authentic for you at the time, and you evolve and change. And I think Morehead imbues you with a sense of being able to do that. And so When I first, you know, that, like you said, I spent some time outdoors. That was super influential during my Outward Bound summer. And then I kind of went, I think some of my summers, I was traveling out and venturing outdoors. But kind of the last summer when I was in London working for MTV, I was like, man, this is pretty cool. Like going to work every day in like a band t-shirt, working with like young, dynamic, interesting, engaging people. And MTV is sort of at the center of youth culture and has been. And I was so fascinated by even how much it impacted and sort of curated and created youth culture internationally that I ended up teaching a seminar my senior year on the MTV generation. But I think that really led me on a path from, you know, instead of my senior year writing a thesis and going to law school, which that had sort of been the plan as a super type A overachiever in high school, I was like, I watched a lot of West Wing and was like, I'm going to wear a pantsuit and go to DC and be a politician. And my summer in London actually really kind of sent me on a different trajectory of an interest in media and communications and those kinds of career paths. And so I ended up in New York, which is obviously like a major hub of media and specifically advertising. You know, it's like the home of Mad Men and all of those vibes. And that's kind of the industry I sort of landed in. And ultimately, my time at MTV, I ended up, that internship led to a full-time job in New York City with MTV, Times Square, 47th floor, kind of a, you know, that, gosh, what's the word I'm looking for? Not traditional, but like, you know, you have that sense of like making it to Times Square.
Quintessential.
There you go. I knew you did that. I was like, what is the word? It was a very quintessential New York experience. Exactly. Like getting off of the subway and hopping on an elevator to the 47th floor in Times Square felt like, okay, I've definitely ticked that box, you know? Mm-hmm. And MTV is how I made it to Los Angeles. I wanted to make my way out west and they were my ticket out there. So I ended up in Los Angeles with MTV and, you know, eventually sort of realized that I didn't want to climb the ladder there and was looking for something else. And that was the time when like sustainability and the green movement, renewable energy and all of that was just booming. So I ended up moving into that space and worked as an environmental consultant. And I kind of had to teach myself, throw myself into it. And then I also worked as a consultant on like, how do you green film and TV production? Because there's a lot of waste going on in that industry and the movie industry. And I worked for a nonprofit that used the entertainment industry as sort of a mouthpiece for environmental awareness. So a couple different roles within that space. And eventually, I think if you live in LA for any period of time, you just get bit by this creative bug. And it's such an awesome juice that like runs through that town that you're just like, man, I really want to get involved in some kind of creative pursuit, because there's just people running around with crazy ideas for screenplays or TV shows they want to make happen. Like just there's all this storytelling. And that's how I ended up becoming a freelance copywriter, or rather, I tell people I had an LA hustle, which there's a lot of people doing that in that part of the world where you just put together a bunch of different gigs that pay you. And some of it, you know, I wanted to get paid to write. And I also wanted to be performing and have the flexibility to do that. And if that meant I was also holding down a job, slinging stretchy pants at Lululemon, that's what I was doing. So I had like 7 different jobs for a while in Los Angeles when I pursued this freelance creative path. I really was dabbling in a lot of content creation, both from like writing personally and pitching ideas and coming up with concepts, and then also being on camera. And that whole experience and during that hustle, I kind of honed in on the idea that I wanted to do more on camera work, and that I really liked the idea of maybe having my own talk show. And so I ended up applying for a job with Pop Sugar, a women's media company. I was really new to it and I had never even read a teleprompter. I went into the audition, which I only got from just doing like an intense amount of networking. And I just like banged on that door. You know, people tell you have to kind of like kick the door in. And I really did enough to get the audition, but I'd never even read a teleprompter. So I was like, you know, fake it till you make it. And luckily enough to sort of get the opportunity to take that gig on where you were a host, producer, writer for this growing video department they had. And then I was kind of off to the races in that specific part of the entertainment industry, working for Pop Sugar for about 3 years. And so that's the kind of twisty path that got me a daily anchor gig on a cable show that was kind of covering pop culture, fashion, beauty, fitness, celebrity culture with a female focus. And that was kind of my day-to-day producing this show for a good while until 2015 when the show got canceled. And, you know, I was in this place of being able to pivot. And I think this is where that Moorhead Kane spirit of adventure and also like listening to what it is that you're passionate about was really important, because I knew I was either going to have to hit the pavement hard and start auditioning again, or I could go in a totally different direction, because I, you know, I wasn't anchored by my anchor gig anymore, nor was I anchored by, I didn't have like, you know, a family, or I didn't own a house. I wasn't married. And that's when this whole idea of moving out west to a ranch like happened in my universe.
Yeah. So tell me more about how you found the ranch and how you ended up there.
Yeah. Cause you know, I had been on this very intense urban adventure for, you know, almost a decade, right? Like I'd been in New York, LA, I lived in San Francisco for a bit with Pop Sugar and then back to LA. And there was still this little girl who grew up in North Carolina, horseback riding, playing in the woods. And there was also the 18-year-old who spent 3 weeks in Montana, who just loved being in that backcountry setting, surrounded by people who were deeply connected to the land and had this sense of a true ethic around stewardship of land. And, you know, that was all deeply impactful for me, but I'd kind of put it to rest while I went on this different journey in media and communications and like kind of the glamorous world of entertainment, all of that. And I could feel that that part of me was hungry. Like it was there. And I found out about this ranch because, interestingly enough, social media, or it's like the soothsayer of our times, right? Like it often tells us the things that we're interested in that we're like, wait, how did you know that? Because of their creepy algorithms. But Instagram was like, hey, you like pictures of ponies and sunsets, check out this place. And it was called Ranchlands. And I started following their social media feeds. And not only was it beautiful content of the open prairie and ranching and cowboys and sunsets and all of that is pretty great, but when I went to the website, they had this really amazing story of what it meant to be a kind of a progressive rancher in the modern American West, and this holding traditions sacred, but also working with the land and the wildlife to evolve the culture and the heritage of ranching, and what it is to live on the land with the land, and really steward a place. And I was just like completely hooked by this idea, which obviously there's the romance of ranching, but I had no idea what the reality was. And I was like, I don't know, just completely enamored. And one day they posted that they were looking for ranch hand interns. And I'm, you know, 32 years old sitting in my bungalow in Venice Beach. And I'm like, can I be a ranch hand? And honestly, I think it was that same intrepid sense of like, go for it, that you sort of get as a scholar, and that sense of like, you know, if you feel it, go with that gut, go with your gut. So I ended up feverishly writing a cover letter at like 2 a.m. and sending it out to this ranch being like, what am I doing? And then like a month later, you know, they got in touch with me and found myself putting all of my stuff in storage and subletting my room in Los Angeles and heading out to Colorado from California for this ranch adventure. And like I said, I grew up horseback riding, so I had a background in how to like put your butt in a saddle, but I had never ranched and I had never done that kind of hard labor either. You know, I knew I wanted to hit the reset button really hard and get in touch with some different parts of myself that had sort of been dormant for a while, just because I hadn't really, they weren't awakened by the, you know, my pursuits post-college up until that point. But, you know, I really wanted to get back in touch with some other parts of myself and challenge myself and get out of that comfort zone. And so I ended up going from that bungalow to a bunkhouse on 87,000 acres of open prairie as an intern, you know, and I'm like 32, surrounded by most people in their early 20s who were interning there and working. And it was a huge kick in the ass. And so challenging and humbling. And I definitely spent some time crying on horseback, getting, you know, I learned how to ride motorbikes, mostly by crashing motorbikes. And I built fence and broke fence and used power tools badly and then better. And it was a lot of trial by error and fire and steep, steep learning curve. But like I said, just so rewarding to kind of enter a totally, it's cultural whiplash, obviously, for someone like myself growing up in the suburbs and then living in really like super dense, frenetic urban environments to go to that pace of life. And it is hard work and you're up with the sun and you're like busting your butt. But it was so cool to work with horses as your coworkers. You know, we did cattle work on horseback and learning land, not with street signs, and spending time on just like just these sublime landscapes that are just wide open and like mind expanding. All of that was just, I just felt healthier and happier than I had ever felt in my previous career choices. And it was supposed to be a 3-month internship. And by the end of it, I did not want to go back to LA. And so I kind of pitched to Big Duke, who ran the ranch and has a majestic mustache, of course. Pitched to him that, hey, you know, I'm not America's Next Top Ranch Hand. And I knew that, like, it maybe wasn't my highest, best use to build fence. But there were other parts of the business that were diversified. They had an education program. They had a guest program. Ag tourism is a really fast growing sector and like a way for people who have these land-based agricultural ranching businesses to create a new stream of income. So they had this hospitality business inviting guests to have a working ranch experience. They were running those enterprises. And I was like, you know, let me get involved. Like, I want to help. And that's where I think I could really contribute. So I became kind of the education outreach director for the ranch and ended up staying on the prairie for 2 years.
What was that like for you socially? I imagine it was relatively isolated out on the ranch. You had some short-term guests, but you said that a lot of your coworkers were a decade younger than you. What was that like?
It was tough. It was really challenging. And I'm sure, like, you know, scholars, you often meet, everybody's like really charismatic and interesting and often very outgoing. And I had always entered new situations with a fair amount of confidence and ease socially. You know, I felt pretty comfortable and in any kind of situation. I'm like, yeah, I can hang out with a prime minister, or I can, like, you know, chat with like some hillbillies. You know, I'm from North Carolina. Like, I kind of can shapeshift a bit. But I will say that the cultural whiplash from like living in those really fast paced, super social, almost kind of like aggressive environments that you get in like New York and LA to a very small, more insular, intimate community on a ranch was tough, because the conversations, even the content, like what you're talking about. I mean, I'm not saying people don't read and watch movies on the ranch, but a lot of what infuses your conversation is the daily going ons of like the cattle and the land. And I had to kind of learn, and this was a really good lesson for me, to be quiet and listen. I kind of was used to, like, to use a Western metaphor, like guns blazing with lots of personality and lots of like, you know, just talking and putting myself out there and kind of throwing myself into social situations. And that worked pretty well in New York.
You were getting paid to talk for a living.
Yeah, exactly. I got paid to talk to people.
Right.
And what I really needed to do on the ranch was shut up and show up. Like, I needed to listen and I needed to soak it up and really pay attention and learn from people, because I was in way over my head. And I just had to be really humble and respectful. And I think I really appreciate that what the ranching community values is sweat equity, putting your time in. And people expect you to kind of like prove that you are there to do the work and not there just to take an Instagram with a sunset and a horse. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And I respected that, you know, and I'm glad it wasn't like anybody hazed me or nobody was mean, but it was just different. Right. And sometimes I felt really lonely, and it was a place that the metric for success, it was different. The measurements, the like ways you contributed and how you earned your place was different to any other job or social situation I'd been in. So it was really, I was humbled by it. And I'm very glad that I learned a little bit to to be quiet and observe. And that's something that's not, you know, that you don't always get from our city existence.
Right. Right. And I know that right now you left the ranch, and now you're in you told me earlier before we started recording that you are in a position of trying to decide what you want to do next. Can you talk a little bit more about that?
Sure. And this ever evolving narrative that I'm writing, I decided kind of later last year and early this year that my time on the Chico Basin Ranch, where I had lived for 2 years, that it was really time to kind of move on. And not because I didn't love the prairie or the ponies or the people, this education program that we had built. There were so many things I was passionate about. And this often happens, you know, your professional and personal needs sometimes are at odds. And it was very isolating on the ranch. You're about 45 minutes from Colorado Springs. That's the closest town. And there's a small community there, and it's kind of transient. There's a lot of turnover, new interns coming in and new folks, and then folks leaving. And then there's the family themselves, which, of course, I was not part of the actual family that runs Ranchland. So I knew it was time for me, if I was going to seek some other adventures in my personal life, like having a relationship or, you know, starting a family or any of those things, that it would be tough to do if I stayed on the Chico. So around January of this year, I left. And again, I was lucky because I'd saved some money. You really do not spend much money when you live in the middle of nowhere. You're able to, much easier to hold on to your funds than, say, New York or LA, where money flies out of your pocket every time you step out of your apartment. I had saved a little bit of money, even though I was living pretty, sparsely, and had a nest egg that I could kind of use for what I ended up dubbing my tumbleweed queen phase. And I've been a tumbleweed queen for a while now, but I really wanted to kind of bounce around the American West. So after a few months of honestly bouncing around and reconnecting with friends and family, because I had kind of been living in the Chico bubble, and I wasn't able to engage in this vast network of, you know, college friends from Carolina. And, you know, I wasn't able to make engagement parties and get home for Christmas as much and all of that, because I'd made this choice to live this lifestyle on the ranch. It was great to sort of plug back in. And I'm really glad I was able to do that. But ultimately, I was still in the back of my head being like, okay, where do I want to be? And where am I going to land? And I tried out Portland for a bit, which was, I really enjoyed, but didn't feel right. And Bozeman was kind of at the top of my list because it has ranching culture, and there's the traditions that are just endemic to Montana. And there's a lot of mythos to Montana, of course. And I had spent my outward bound here, and I loved it. So it loomed very large in my psyche. But what's neat is Bozeman is a growing town, and there's a university here. And so that means there's more diversity. There's more intellectual curiosity and energy, and there's economic activity, and there are jobs to be had, and there's arts and entertainment. So it was this great intersection of I swung the pendulum pretty hard when I moved from LA to the Chico. And Bozeman felt like maybe it was landing somewhere in between, like that could be a resting place. And when I got here, I loved it. And so I landed here in March, and I did a little bit more traveling, but ultimately decided that, yep, this is where I want to put down some roots for the moment, and kind of let the tumbleweed queen, take the tumbleweed queen crown off for just a bit.
Is it a tumbleweed crown or just a, like what?
Yeah, no, you're right. Exactly. It's made of tumbleweeds.
Uh-huh.
Yeah. It's like kind of like imagine a Coachella flower crown meets the prairie.
That's what I was picturing.
Great. I'm so glad we're on the same page. That's what it is. It's been really great to sort of feel some good momentum and inertia around a new town. And I've enjoyed getting to know Bozeman, and I'm still doing it, and I'm still figuring out what's next. I'm hoping I want to start a storytelling show out here to maybe take the tumbleweed queen idea, but travel and tell stories and gather stories. Maybe I'll take on a full-time job too, because you know what? Health benefits don't suck. So I'm balancing all of that. And that, I think we're all playing that game, right? Trying to figure out how the puzzle pieces fit, but I'm going to be doing it from Bozeman because I'm pretty excited about what resources and creative energy I found here.
Well, we are recording in early September, and the Alumni Forum is third week of October, and so I'll be looking forward to hearing if you have any updates when you're in town for that. And so, speaking of the forum, tell me what you are most looking forward to at this year's forum.
Well, this will be my first forum, and I'm really excited because, you know, I've missed them in the past for any number of reasons, you know, whether you're just out of college and you just don't have the money to get back. And also, you know, I've been on the West Coast, which makes it more difficult to make your pilgrimage back to Chapel Thrill. So I'm really excited because I've heard such amazing things about how inspiring the weekend is. And I really, in leaving the ranch and kind of busting out of that kind of bubble I was living in, which I loved, don't get me wrong, one of the things I wanted to do was really reconnect to the Morehead Cane community, because I know what an unbelievably valuable network and resource all the people are that are a part of it. And I'm like, you know, I'm so lucky to have access to it, and I want to get stuck back into it. So I'm really excited to be a part of the forum. And I'm like, I just feel really honored and privileged to be serving as a panelist and also as a coach for the 7 speakers, which is really neat to kind of take the storytelling kind of skills and experiences that I've gained over the years, whether I was performing or putting on my own show or just using storytelling as a guide for my decision making. It's really gratifying to get to apply that and contribute to the forum in that way, and hopefully just offer my perspective. And it's really great to be on this panel, which is going to be all about career pivots and thriving and surviving through the twists and turns of one's career. So I couldn't really come at a better time, because I am constantly wrestling with these things, and it's become the most foundational thing for me is just like riding the river of life and like going with it. So I'm excited to talk about that with fellow scholars.
I'm sure everyone will benefit from hearing it. And from this conversation, you seem like an ideal person to help lead that conversation. So thank you for coaching the 7 speakers and for volunteering as a panelist, and even just for coming to the forum. Thank you, Becca.
I'm super excited to see all the cousins back in Chapel Hill, and moderating that panel is going to be a blast. And I really hope lots of people come and we have a super fun, engaging conversation, and the speakers are going to blow everybody's minds. It's going to be a blast.
You've been listening to Catalyze, a podcast produced by the Morehead Cane Foundation at the University of North Carolina at Chapel Hill. To learn more about Becca, find her on Twitter, Instagram, LinkedIn, and or the Morehead Cane Network. Her name is spelled BECCAFRUCHT. A big shout out to composer Creighton Irons, also in the Morehead Cane class of 2005, for creating our theme music. You can learn about Creighton and his work at creightonirons.com. That's CREIGHTONIRONS.com. And as we've said before, we welcome your ideas and feedback for Catalyze. Tell us what you like about what we're doing, what you want done differently, and ideas you have for making this project even bigger and better. Until next time.